This is Vatican Radio. The Jubilee of Prisoners, celebrated on Sunday, gave prisoners, their families, prison chaplains and staff the chance to hear Pope Francis's message of mercy and hope. In his homily, the Holy Father stressed that hope was a gift of God and that his mercy gives him no rest. One of those attending the Mass in St. Peter's Basilica was Monsignor Roger Reader, prison advisor to the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, who dropped into the studios of Vatican Radio following the event. He reflected on the Pope's homily and spoke to me, Lydia O'Kane, about his experience of the Year of Mercy.
It was a beautiful Mass. It was a very, very prayerful Mass. But what was amazing for me was as the altar party came in, I could just tell that the altar servers and everybody who's taking part in the liturgy, they were prisoners. And what a gesture that was of the Holy Father, rather than having seminarians, to have prisoners up there on the altar, doing the readings, doing the bidding prayers. It was a beautiful thing to see people who are serving sentences being welcomed into the very heart of the church. It was wonderful.
What about the Pope's homily? What did you think about that?
Well, my Italian isn't too good, but I could hear that all the time he was emphasising the word hope, and that from mercy there comes hope, and that as Christians we must have hope, and we must trust that we can change. We must never give up hope, he said. You know, even if our hope is just, our faith is as small as a grain of sand, we can still have hope, we can still change. It was a very encouraging homily.
I'm just going to pick out one line from one of the paragraphs, which he says, by learning from past mistakes you can open a new chapter of your lives. Let us never yield to the temptation of thinking we cannot be forgiven. In this Year of Mercy, coming with a you know, lines like that, obviously you talked about hope there, giving hope to people who maybe think, you know, maybe God doesn't want to forgive me, or maybe I'm not to be forgiven, or so there you go.
Last week in the prison where I work, I was talking, it's a boys' prison, and I was talking to a 15-year-old boy who'd just come into the prison, and I said, I won't be here next week for Mass, Sean, because I'm going to say Mass with the Pope. And he said, but prison's for bad people. Why does the Pope want to see bad people? And that just moved me so much, and I had to try and explain to him then, a week ago, that there is hope for him, there is hope for everybody in prison, and that prison isn't about, shouldn't be only about bad people, but should be about hope and should be about looking for forgiveness, and that everybody with a heart is, with an open heart, forgiveness is there for them.
Well, how much has this Year of Mercy, do you think, given a sense of hope to prisoners, prisoners that you would be working with?
In England and Wales, we've had various projects associated with the Year of Mercy, and in particular, I commissioned an icon of the mercy of Jesus Christ, of the face of Jesus offering mercy to prisoners. And each prisoner in England and Wales has been given a little copy of this icon. And the feedback I've had from the prisons, they're saying, you remembered us. The church is there for us. We now have this beautiful picture. And every prison chapel has the icon. And many of our bishops up and down the country are blessing them this weekend at the same time as the Jubilee for Mercy. We've been able to get a lot of interest in prisons. There have been articles in the Catholic press about prisons. Dioceses have been having meetings in my own Diocese of Westminster about a month ago. We had a meeting for people, ordinary people, to come and volunteer in prisons. And about 35, 40 people at that meeting said, yes, this is interesting for us. We want to work in prisons. We want to help people. Or help prisoners when they're released and help them to stay away from the bad things, to stay away from the bad influences, and to retain their faith once they leave prison.
This is very interesting what you just talked about, this idea of volunteering, because the Pope has been very strong on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and we're talking about prisoners, one of the works. Have you found, you were talking there about many people wanting to volunteer, do you hope that that will continue, that it'll gain momentum, and that people will want to, even once the Jubilee is over, that people will want to do that, there'll be more priests doing it, there'll be more volunteers doing it, it will continue?
I really hope that it will, that the Year of Mercy is a beginning, it's not an end. And I think it's opened a new chapter in the life. It's such a gift that the Holy Father's given us. It's opened a new chapter in the life of the Church. And once the volunteers go into prison, they will have an amazing experience, because prisoners, people in prison, really value volunteers. They're astonished that people want to come in and see them who aren't paid to be there. that somebody just comes in because their faith is motivating them. And for all the, you know, the paid chaplains, the paid people who are there, when a prisoner meets somebody who's just their faith says, I want to talk to you, I want to help you, that really gets into the under their skin. And volunteers have such a huge role in prison. And also, the volunteers will then say to their friends, their families, you know, I went into this prison, and, you know, they were just like us. The people in there, they were friendly, they were fine, they were polite, they weren't rude, they were just like us. And it's a way of piercing the walls of a prison. There's a sort of two-way traffic of benefit, if you like, both within the prison and in the church community outside.
Well, that must be helpful, because obviously there must be also a lot of fear attached to going to prisons, a lot of fear and misconceptions about how what the reactions will be and how a prisoner will greet you and how you'll greet a prisoner, kind of thing. And obviously this is a help to try and get to the heart of that.
Absolutely. The first time when I was being interviewed for my first prison job as a full-time chaplain in a high-security prison, I was walking around the prison, and I have to tell you, I thought, you know, these are really big-time people, big-time criminals here. And I saw this really big man, and he was icing a cake. And I thought, this is extraordinary. It's not what I'd expected at all. And for me, that sort of broke down a barrier. And there is somebody doing something ordinary, something which, you know, people might do at home. There's this big man icing a cake. You suddenly realise that you can't label people by the crimes which they've committed. There's so much more to everybody in prison than just what it says on their sentence, you know, just what the court says. That person has so much more in their lives than just the one thing which they've done wrong.
Well, the Pope has visited prisons himself, and he's actually made an appeal in his Angelus for the improvement of living conditions in prisons. How helpful is that?
I hope it'll be very helpful. Now, in England and Wales, I mean, our conditions aren't good, and they could certainly be better, but, you know, having spoken to colleagues all over the world, prison conditions can be absolutely scandalous, not in England and Wales, but in other parts of the world. And as we say again and again, the punishment is imprisonment, not the conditions in which people are imprisoned. They should have dignity, they should have access to health, they should have access to worship, access to education, access to their families, and be able to live in a clean, safe prison. Should be safe places, and you're never going to rehabilitate somebody by making them live in squalor. That's not going to work. You give people dignity, and then they will find within their heart a desire to change, to be rehabilitated. So absolutely, I was so pleased that I gave a round of applause when the Holy Father said this, the Angelus, that prison conditions should be improved. Absolutely they should.
To have a jubilee, especially for prisoners, how significant and important is that?
It's one of the greatest things which have happened, I think, in the recent life of the church for prisoners. You know, to say that you are part of the church, that you can pray, that your life is important, your spiritual life, your faith, your life as a praying Christian is important, and that God offers you mercy, that if you turn to God, you will find mercy. What a greater gift, as I keep saying, this is such a gift to the church, the Jubilee for prisoners. And we've been able to do so much in some little ways, but in some big ways, in my own community in England and Wales, to increase that sense of self-worth, to increase that search for mercy. Prisoners say, you have to ask for mercy, it doesn't just happen, you have to ask for it. But then they open their hearts to mercy, and their lives can gradually, often their lives don't change immediately, but their lives can gradually change as they know that the Pope in particular has a heart for them.
But maybe some of the prisoners that you work with may have seen this. A lot of prisoners in Italy will have seen the Pope celebrating Mass for prisoners. How much do you think that'll give them a sense of, yeah, as you say, a sense of, you know, if the Pope thinks we're worthy enough to have the Jubilee, that kind of thing?
It was after the Mass, in the crowd after the Mass, I found another priest, and he said, oh, hello, and in my limping Italian, he then introduced me to three Italian prisoners. So I had a little chat with them, and I'd gone about food, but they told me how they love cooking in their cells, what they cook. But they said this Mass was just wonderful for them. You know, the smiles on their faces. And these were serving prisoners going back to a prison in Italy. And it's something they will never, ever forget.